Our scripture reading today is taken from Mark chapter 4, verses 26 through 32, starting in verse 26. He also said, "This is what the kingdom of God is like. A man scatters seed on the ground. Night and day, whether he sleeps or gets up, the seed sprouts and grows, though he does not know how. All by itself, the soil produces grain, first the stalk, then the head, then the full kernel in the head. As soon as the grain is ripe, he puts the sickle to it, because the harvest has come." Again he said, "What shall we say the kingdom of God is like? Or what parable shall we use to describe it? It is like a mustard seed, which is the smallest of all the seeds on earth. Yet when planted, it grows and becomes the largest of all garden plants, with such big branches that the birds can perch in its shade." May the Lord bless the reading of his word.
Humble himself. I started to say I look around and I see a lot of old faces, but I guess I should say familiar faces. That's a little nicer. But it's good to be back in this place. It's great to have my kids with me. This is one of those few occasions that we all managed to get together. Now that they're from Norfolk and Winston-Salem and Raleigh, we don't always get together. As I said this morning, the only thing that would make today better, this can't happen. But I am so grateful for all the sympathy, the words of kindness, the friendship, support, the prayers that this church has given me and to my family over these last couple of years. It has proven that God's grace is sufficient, and we have made it through it. We are here continuing to depend upon that grace, and I thank you for your part of that. And so many people I feel like before I begin, let me just offer a word of prayer as you prepare yourselves to hear the message. Will you join me? Gracious God, we do give you thanks for the love that you show to us in so many different ways. We ask, Lord, that you would take the scripture that has been read today, and that through the feeble attempts of your messenger to convey a word for this church, not only in celebration of its past, but in anticipation of the great future that you have for it. We offer this prayer in your Son's name. Amen. You've got just as good a choir backing you up. A few new faces that I haven't seen before in the choir, and some that many I recognize. But as I was driving in here this morning, I came down Franklin, and I went past Franklin Elementary School. And out there on the billboard out front, it says Teacher Appreciation Week. And I learned this is coming this next week. And I remembered all the times and all the teachers that there have been in Calvary through the years. I know that, and I don't know whether you still do this or not, but when I first came, we had an education day. And we recognized everybody in the church that was involved in education, from preschool through college, and it was just an extraordinary number of people. And it kind of bled into my opening illustration this morning about a teacher who was having a particularly difficult day. And if you're a teacher, you know what those days are like, when you just can't quite get the concept over to the students. They seem to be a little contrary, a little stubborn in listening to what you have to say. And even though you've maybe said it the day before and you're doing it again and you're going to do it the next day, they just don't seem to get it. Anita, you know how that is. One of these days, a teacher got to Friday and she'd just been trying all week to get this new concept in math over to them, and they just couldn't get it. So she decided to do something different for the rest of her time. So she asked everybody just to close your books up, to get on a piece of paper. And what I want you to do is I want you to look around the classroom. I want you to write everybody's name down on the piece of paper. And beside everybody's name, I want you to write down one thing that you either appreciate about them or how they've contributed to your life or why you like them. And we're going to take that up at the end of the hour. So it took the whole hour to do that. The students kind of got into that. They looked around, they wrote all the names down, and she took them up. And it became more of a project for her than just to fill up time. She took them home, and on Saturday, she took 28 pieces of paper, and she wrote down the name of each student at the top, and she wrote down on that piece of paper everything the other students had said about that student. On Monday, she brought them back, and she handed them out to everyone. And the students were amazed at what people thought about them. Some of them didn't think anybody even knew who they were. Some certainly didn't know that they liked them or that they appreciated their contribution to the class or to the school. And it made a huge change in that class's perspective and the way they worked together and the way they listened to the teacher. And so, over and done with, right? You know, that was just a one-day, two-day exercise, and so the students seemed a little bit more receptive to the lessons, and everything went on. Years and years and years later, something brought those students back with the teacher at the school. It may have been a retirement, not sure what it was. And when they came back, one by one, these students came up to them, and as they were coming up to her, they were unfolding a piece of paper. She knew immediately what it was when she saw the first one. One student said that he had kept this paper in his wallet ever since she gave it to him. That when he felt low and he needed some encouragement, he would open that paper up and look at it. A woman said that she put that note in her wedding album. Another one said she carried it with her everywhere she went. And the teacher was just overwhelmed that what was just an act of desperation, really, just to fill up some time, that began to take on more meaning even at that time, had made such an impact on students across their life. Just a little bitty thing. And the impact that it had. Now I want you to remember that illustration, because it's going to be part of what we're going to turn to in just a few moments in the parables. The parables that Jesus gives in the fourth chapter of Mark deal with the kingdom of God. It's a term that we use a lot, and in my simple mind, I just kind of say the kingdom of God is where God's working, and it's where people recognize and welcome God working. It's where we see God doing something and we join in on it, we celebrate it, and we do what we can to contribute to it. And Jesus is explaining to his disciples what the kingdom of God is. It's not only something that was coming at the time, the scripture says, it was already breaking its way into history, but it was yet to be even be revealed more and more in the years ahead. And so Jesus was explaining what it was. And I think it's important for us on this 104th anniversary to think about the kingdom of God and the place that Calvary Baptist Church has in that kingdom and in the way that it does ministry. Now, a couple hundred yards from here is where the tent revival happened that began Calvary Baptist Church back in 1914. And then it was, that's actually the revival was in 1913. But in 1914, the church that grew out of that became Calvary. Very soon, a structure was built. A structure, I think, probably part of it still rests in the old Johnson home, Rachel the Phillips home. Yeah, Rachel and Johnson Phillips. The side of their house became the two Sunday school rooms that were pushed together from the old building. I think it's still there. Then there was the chapel or the old sanctuary built, the education building. All these things that happened all through the years that were an expansion of the space of Calvary Baptist Church. But through all that time, there was also an expanding of the kingdom of God through the ministry of Calvary. And the different avenues and the ways in which this church has been involved in the lives of families and lives of people all through these 104 years. And so I think while we have a day that we look back and celebrate all those things that have happened in the life of the church, it's also a time to look at the present and look to the future as well and see how each one of you are involved in the growth of the kingdom in this day and in this time. In the first parable, Jesus says that there's a farmer who plants seed, and whether he rises up or whether he goes to bed, whatever he does, when the farmer looks out on his field, the seed that has been planted is growing, and he doesn't know how or why that it's happening. Now, you and I know why it's happening. We've had biology, and we know all about how seeds germinate and all the process that's involved in that. A lot more so than the people of the time knew. They knew something happened, and to them, there was an amazement. There was almost something magical about the way the seeds grew and what was happening. And what was particularly amazing to this farmer is that the farmer didn't have to do anything else but plant the seed, and it grew of its own. Now, yes, there was soil and there was some moisture and those kind of things, but there was a sense of amazement at what was going on. And Jesus says that's like the kingdom of God. It means that there's something happening in the kingdom of God, in God's realm, in this world, that is beyond our power, beyond what we do. It's what God is doing. And if we ever lose that sense of what the kingdom of God is about, and that God is doing something beyond us, then the church fails and we fail and the kingdom collapses. Because I think that sense of awe and wonder about what God does in the world around us has to be a part of who we are as Christians and who we are as a church. If it becomes routine, if it becomes something that we can analyze, if it becomes something that just fulfills a plan that we have, or going down some chart, well, we've done this step, let's do the next step and the next step. If that's how we see our lives as Christians or the life of the church, then we're hampering what God can do in the life of the church. We need to have that awe, that almost being amazed by something magical going on that we can't understand and we can't explain. When we lived in Mount Airy, you know, we lived over on Old Springs Road, and we lived in the corner of the road that came down by the cemetery. We really just had a side yard and a little front yard. No space to grow a garden. But I had grown up next door to my grandmother, and my grandfather had been killed when I was 6 years old by a drunken driver, and we built houses side by side, and she was a farmer. And so she started digging her yard up in the subdivision, planting out a garden. It got bigger and bigger and bigger every year. There were no rototillers. There was a spade and a pitchfork, and that was me and my power. And that garden got bigger and bigger, but I watched her grow everything she used to grow on an acre of land. She grew in this little garden. But it had been a lot of years since I had done that. We were in seminary, you know, we lived in apartments. The first house we had, we were just too busy with school and raising children to garden. And so when we got to Raleigh, I decided I wanted to get back to some of my roots that way, and we put out some little 4x4 boxes, and I put some wire around them to keep them away from the deer in our area and all that kind of stuff. And those 4x4 gardens are about boxes about four times as many as there were then in space. But one of the amazing things that happened was, because all that was available, was that for some reason, after her first bone marrow transplant, Joy just wanted to garden. She was not a gardener. She grew up reading books, and her sister was always out there helping her dad. She didn't have any fascination with things growing or anything outside. But something happened to her during that bone marrow transplant and afterwards, and maybe it's just an appreciation for life and for the amazement of life. She wanted to grow things. And so she, we got little cups, and we put some soil in, and we planted seeds. I hung up some growth lights in the garage over top of the seed cups. And we grew our own plants that year, tomatoes and some peppers and stuff that I always used to go to Home Depot or to Lowe's and just buy the plants and plant them. We were growing them. And she was just amazed when she'd go buy those every day how much bigger they were. She just never experienced that. Now, some of you that are teachers of preschoolers, you know how you send home the little Dixie cups, you know, you put a seed inside, maybe even to illustrate this parable. It just fascinated Joy that this was growing. She knew the science just as well as I did, but there was an amazement in her about what was happening from one day to the next, a power beyond her own. She planted the seed, but something else was happening there, and she took great joy in it. That's what I'm encouraging us to have when we look at the kingdom of God and we see what God's doing, is to be amazed by it. There's something happening there beyond ourselves. It's beyond what we can do. We might be on the beginning part of it, but God takes it over and something else happens beyond what we control. And just like with my joy, there's a joy in that too. When you see the world that way, when you see what God is doing and you relish that joy of what God is doing, that's, Jesus said, is what the kingdom of God is like. Things happening beyond your understanding, but yet you're amazed and in wonderment by what's going on. We move to the second parable. There's another point that Jesus makes about this kingdom of God, and it relates to that first illustration. It has to do with the mustard seed, which is, at that time, what they considered to be the smallest seed in the world. You plant this little mustard seed, and it grows into a great bush. Now, it's not a redwood like in California. It's just a big bush. But in Palestine, where hardly anything grew because of the rocks and the aridness of the land, a large bush was a pretty big thing. And it came from the smallest seed. And everybody knew that. That was common wisdom. Small seed, big bush. Even that the birds could come and make a nest in it. So the message is very simple. It's like, perhaps, like I say, you may have taught preschoolers with Dixie cup and the seed. But from something so very small, God can bring something big. Now, that doesn't just mean what God does in the kingdom. It's what God does with us, too, and our place in the kingdom. One of the things that probably stands behind us or keeps us from being as involved maybe as we should be in the life of the church is that we just don't think we have anything to contribute. Not so, says the parable. Even the smallest contribution, even the smallest seed by God can be taken to be something amazing. A comment that's made, a commitment to the beginning of a ministry, an idea that you have that you share with someone else. I know a multitude of things through the ministries of different churches I've been involved in that have come about from just one person in a line after a church service saying, "Why don't we do this?" They had no idea what the plan was for that. They had no idea about how it might be accomplished, but they planted that seed. And God's the one that brought something wonderful, something big out of that. So for each of us here today, whether you're vitally involved in the life of the church or you're marginally involved in the life of the church, we all have a contribution to make. We all have something to give to the kingdom. And it's not dependent upon your judgment of how small it is, because there is no measure of smallness in God's kingdom. If you're willing to give and to sacrifice and to make the effort, then the assurance that I have from Scripture is that God will bless that and make something wonderful out of it. And so the kingdom of God is an amazing place to be. It's an amazing domain where God's active and working in ways that we don't understand, that we really don't have a part to play in it, really. It's God's power that's working beyond anything that we can do. And then part of that amazement is how God does take what we have to offer. The farmer had to plant the seed. And so we're all asked to plant our little seed too, and God will take that and make something wonderful out of it. I doubt very seriously when the original members of Calvary Baptist Church, especially just the ones who just came to attend revival, had any anticipation that 104 years later, this church would be worshiping in this space. And all the lives and the families that have been touched over these 104 years. They just contributed a small part to that, but God has watered that and blessed it and brought it along to well beyond anything that could have been anticipated. And so it's important for us who are involved in work in the church, recognize, as Paul says, that we're all a part of the body, and every part of us have something to contribute to the body of the church, and there is nothing small. All of it is part of the body, and we're all a part of that. We all have something to contribute. And so I would encourage you to really get involved in the life of this church if you're not. I encourage you that if you're already involved in it, don't let anything hold you back from contributing whatever you've got to give. That God will take that and will bless it and bring something wonderful out of it. The last thing that I see in these parables that have to do with the kingdom of God is something that I just came up in my Bible study a few years ago when I was doing a study at another church on parables. And it's something I probably should have realized, but I just never read it anywhere or didn't think of it. But one of the things that I have learned to do as a landscaper, not as a gardener, is to buy perennials, not annuals. You know, put those things out that are gonna last until the next year. Most of them are bulbed, and they're gonna be dormant all winter. They're gonna shoot up in the spring, and you don't have to do anything whatsoever at all about it. Annuals are what, you know, we plant in gardens. You know, you just have to plant the seeds every year. You have to put the plants in every year. They die out. You've got to do the same thing the next year. I'm in the process of doing that right now in my garden. Planted some cantaloupe plants yesterday, and have tomatoes and peppers and squash and all that out. But you know, every year it's like, gotta go out there and clean that garden out and get it ready and plant new stuff. It comes every year without fail, but I have to do that. But I have some things around the edges of my yard that just grow. And I love them. They're beautiful. I don't have to do anything about them. The mustard seed was not a perennial, it was an annual. If you planted it, it didn't come back the next year. Now, I know my grandmother used to raise these little cherry tomatoes. And if you have very many cherry tomatoes, you can never get them all off the vines. Some of them are going to rot before they get off. And they fall into the ground. And sometimes you get what my grandmother would call volunteers. They'd come up the next year without planting them. I've never had success with volunteers. Not in the church, volunteers in the garden. I've never had that kind of success. But because I had to plant things over and over. So there are occasions that, you know, some annuals will come back up from the seed, but not so with the mustard seed. In order for the mustard plant to come up the next year, they had to take the seed off of the plant. They had to wrap it and prepare it and keep it in certain conditions so that the next year they could plant that seed and start all over again. Jesus says that's what the kingdom of God is like. Now, what's that say to us about the church ministry? It says to me that the church can't be on autopilot. The church just can't live on what it's been doing in the past or even the programs that it has going presently. There's always new work to be done. If not, the current work will fail. It means that we have to always be at it. We always have to be working. We always have to prepare new ground and do new things in order for the kingdom to grow. And that's where we play a part. We play a part in the beginning, maybe in the casting out the seed and planting the seed. God's the one who provides the power and the strength along the way to individuals and to the church itself to do what happens when the kingdom grows. And then we're charged with the continual planting of the seed. I like to think of that seed being planted as planting the gospel out into the community, into the lives of new individuals. And that it's our responsibility to hold it and protect it and to keep it secure so that we can plant that seed the next season for the next season of growth that God wants to offer. So on this Sunday, when we celebrate the 104 years of Calvary Baptist Church, it's also a time to look at what we are doing now and where we're going to go in the future and what God's going to do there. I was kind of anxious to get to the church this morning and come in through the side door over by the chapel, which I did, and then walk on through and find the saying that I remember us finding in a closet when we remodeled the old sanctuary into the chapel. It's the sign that says, if every member of my church were like me, what kind of church would my church be? Now, somehow that had made it to a closet somewhere. It had been around for decades, and just in the vestibule of the old sanctuary, and it wasn't used anymore for a worship space. You know, things around the church always end up in a closet somewhere. But we found it, we pulled it out, and we hung it up. And it's still hanging there in the history area. I'm glad to be a part of the history area. My hair is brown on that picture, by the way. I can give you a gray one if you want it. But I thought, you know, somebody was really ingenious at Calvary to think up that saying. But now that I have access to the internet, it's all over the internet, all over the place. So it came from somewhere, but somebody had enough responsibility to pin that and hang it up and challenge people at some point in the life of the church. That if every member of the church were like you, what kind of church is this going to be? So that's my challenge to you from some of the old history of Calvary Baptist Church. Are you going to contribute what you have to offer to the life of this church? Are you ready to be involved in the life of the church enough and in God's kingdom enough that you see what God's doing? You know, you got to be around. You got to be around God's people. You got to be involved in God's ministry to see what God's doing. And then are you willing to contribute whatever you have toward that ministry? And are you willing to keep doing it? To recognize that we don't retire as Christians. We may change our ministry. It may not, you know, we may not be like Thelma Shelton, who 60 years later is still sitting down the floor playing with preschoolers. Maybe 70. I don't know whether you started when you were 9 years old or not, but long time. And then Janet's following in her footsteps. We may be in the same ministry all our life and keep going and going, but sometimes life changes, circumstances change, but we never get to a place where we cannot work for the kingdom. I've had people in churches that all they would do, which was a significant thing, was to use their phone to call people up and say, "We missed you at church." They didn't even have to get out of their apartment, but they did it from a nursing home. So we never get to a place where we don't need to be working for the kingdom of God. And as a church, may this church never be at a place, and I've never known it to be at a place, where it's just satisfied with the way things are and not looking ahead to what God's going to do. Let me have a prayer with you. Gracious God, we give you thanks for your word to us and the message that has been proclaimed today through Scripture. We ask, Lord, that you just help each of us to determine the place that we are in your kingdom, what it is that we have to contribute, how this church may, in this day and the days of the future, have eyes that are willing to see the wonderful things that you're doing and the power that you're offering and the places that you're moving the church. And may we all make commitment to be ever on task, always ready to work for you, whatever your calling may be. And we thank you that you have been faithful, you continue to be faithful, and that we trust that you will be faithful. In your son's name we pray. Amen.